true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
It's the phenomenon of when you have a tech problem and the IT guy shows up.
Usually it's the opposite. You're like, it's not a problem.
Right. Like the IT guy shows up and just now it works. So that's what we just did. You IT guide me.
Yeah. Well, except to be fair, you fixed it. You found the problem and you turned it up.
But I was looking at all that same shit right before you came over and didn't figure it made no sense. It was just
right. Little
images on the screen. And then you were there and I was like, oh, this is probably what it is. The thing I've been staring at the whole fucking time.
Here's the spiritual lesson in that. You want to hear it?
I'm ready.
Here, this
teach me.
It is literally that. Teach me is the thing.
That's good.
I know for myself, I can't fucking see a thing until I start to show someone else or tell someone else about
it. God, that's so true.
That's why talk therapy is real.
That's one reason talk therapy is real.
Yeah.
Speaking of talk therapy, this has nothing to do with talk therapy.
Great. Good segue.
You're welcome.
Good segue.
And then we have to talk about where you are. We have to tell the people, update them on your fabulous life and career. Is I watched the movie Tenet, which do you remember when we did the crossover episode with Ari and and Scott, that was the one time travel movie they wanted. Well, specifically Ari was like, you gotta watch Tenet, it's the best one.
And I think didn't Scott hate it? Or some people hate that movie and some people
love it. I know. I worshipped it. Worshipped. Now, Eric and I watched it together and we both were like, it was complicated enough that we kept having to stop and rewind a lot. And they were also weird. We can't figure out why this was happening, but there was a sound phenomenon by which like person would say a sentence like, they're coming back with a cheese sandwich. And we'd be like, coming back with a cheese sandwich? Is that what he said? And he'd be like, oh, I thought he said he's coming back to do jumping jacks. And we'd play it back and it'd be like, coming back in a jumping jack cheese sandwich. And we'd be like, cheese sandwich, jumping jacks? And we could not understand the words they were saying a lot of the time. We couldn't tell if it was our sound system or the way the movie was like leveled up. What's it called? Mixed?
Yeah. I feel like it's a really common phenomenon. Common phenomenon. That's a good warm-up.
Common phenomenon.
It's a common phenomenon more currently of like like when they do a really good sound mix, but it sucks at home or on TV and people are and what happens is people then end up complaining and saying, all sound is too mumbly today. Like I can't understand a word people are saying ever on TV anymore. You know, my parents pretty much 100% of the time have to have subtitles on. Or they just can't follow.
Wait, but you're saying that's because the way that it's good sound mixing, but only for this big screen?
I feel like that might be the case. Like that, you know, it's so complex in its mix that it doesn't work
at home.
Although when we went to see Across the Spider-Verse, which is the most recent animated Spider-Man movie. By the way, speaking of multiverse movies, gorgeous, absolutely top-notch movies. Both of those.
Help me understand. This is the Spider-Man that is a cartoon from a couple years ago.
So yeah, they made Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse where he first kind of breaks the fabric and starts to jump through different. And it's Miles Morales, which is the young Afro-Latin American guy who is Spider-Man, not Peter Parker.
Okay.
Although Peter Parker figures into the Spider-Verse. It's all the different Spider-Men. I like saying Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. I like to say like, this is my doctor, Juan Spider-Man. Yeah. So, okay, that was that one. Now you're saying there's another.
There's a sequel. It's what happens after. And it's beautiful movie making. They play with art styles in a brilliant way and let the style of art also reflect the sort of energy of the tone of that universe that they're jumped into.
Oh, I see. That's cool.
I think you just lost your...
No, I just moved the orientation of the mic.
It just got super tinny.
Oh, I know. Hold on a second. It's because I moved to the, no, I just,
okay.
I'm trying to get comfortable, but also have light on me so you can see me. And it's, I'm doing terrible things that I'm sure Desmond will be like, kill her.
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Anyway, it's a side note. It's a great movie. And it's also about multiple realities and the nature of love. It has actually some themes that are probably similar to Everything Everywhere All at Once, and probably Tenet for that matter. Although it doesn't have time. Time isn't really the issue. The issue is more universes.
Gotcha. Tenet is all about time.
Yeah, very much. It's crazy. It's nuts. It's a nutty movie.
Tenet is so good. I want to watch it two more times.
All that is to say, I went and saw it with our friend Brendan,
yes,
who is a movie fiend. And we're in the theater at the beginning going, I think this sound sucks. I think there's something wrong with the sound. And why is nobody else? It was like the music was really loud, and the voiceover was like,
oh, geez.
Hi, the continuity. Da 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 da. I just got it. I was like, that can't be right. That cannot be right. Because I can barely understand what the person's saying. And so we went and said something, and they're like, oh, we'll look into it. They didn't, of course. And then watched it for a little longer, then walked back out and were like, seriously. Then he went out and said, something's wrong. And they're like, oh, okay, we'll look. And we looked, we stayed for a little while longer. And then we're like, no, this is wrong. Someone's pushed the wrong button in there. And then we went out and asked if we could see in a different theater the showing that started a half hour later, which was a different format entirely. Like, one was Dolby Digital and the other was SLP sound or something, because different theaters have different setups. And the second it started, we're like, oh, this is great. It sounded perfect.
Okay, so there was a problem.
There was a problem, but no one seemed to care. And I was like,
that's very weird.
Are we the only one? Which is why we felt like maybe we're wrong, but we were super not wrong. And then saw an article. They had to re-release a whole bunch of copies of that movie.
No shit.
For bad sound mixing problems.
Whoa.
Boom, bam. I think it was like one particular version of it. Like, if you were getting the Dolby Digital one, it was bad. And if you were getting the other ones, it was good.
So now I'm wondering about what this movie we saw, because it was not. Well, we could not hear a lot of it.
Well, I think that goes to the idea that, like, the mode and the system aren't talking to each other right.
That makes sense, because they did have, anytime the music was playing, it was like, I'll go away from the mic to make this point. The music was like this. Bow, bow. And then the dialogue was like, anyway, so then
yeah, that's, I feel like there's like a button we have to push on our systems that's like, oh, we want it to be not in surround sound. We want it to be in stereo or whatever.
Something.
What's the spiritual lesson? None. Just push the right buttons.
Don't go to movies with bad sound. Because sometimes, you know, I'm making a joke, but to be serious, like, people never want the spiritual lesson to be just don't date that person. You know,
I date this person correctly?
Right. That's right. They never want the answer to be walk away. They want it to be like, but how do I stay being tortured?
We found it. We found the lesson.
Yeah. Stop going to where the torture is. How about that?
Sometimes you just got to go, can I go to a different movie?
Yeah, exactly. That was cool that you guys did that. That's the whole point, because a lot of people won't. You just said it. The people are sat in the theater and just didn't care.
Yeah.
I don't know if they didn't care. It's just they didn't think they could do anything about it, or they didn't want to take action, or they were lazy that day, or what, you know, could be 800 things.
And obviously we were super nice about it. We weren't dicks. We weren't all, let me talk to your manager. Also, I was like, I don't think you want it to be this way. I think you want the people in that theater to be getting a good experience, too.
Mm-hmm. Because you don't want people to walk away and talk shit about your theater.
Right.
Did you see it at, where'd you see it?
Alameda.
Okay.
Big fancy movie house.
Part of why I'm asking is because I'm now a little afraid to see movies at the Emeryville Center Bay.
Something happened there. There was like a looting or something happened.
It was very weird. It was 300 to 400 teenagers. At least that's how the narrative is going. I don't know if they were teenagers.
Yeah.
Descended upon this outdoor mall that's across the street from where I live and just flooded it with people. Just they came running through, and all the people that were there shopping, just like, and all the people who had stores were like closing the doors to their stores. All the shoppers were like, I guess we have to, there's a stampede of people. Are they going to loot? What are they going to shoot guns? What's going to happen? And one person got stabbed in the neck. But I'm not clear if that was actually a different day. Either way, it was very odd because it wasn't, it didn't seem to be about anything. It just was like a thing that happened.
And did they not, they didn't loot or anything while they were doing it?
No looting, just they just stampeded and then went away.
Wow. That could just be a flash mob, but it sounds like it was also scary for people. So what's the deal?
Well, I mean, you have to think about like context, man. If you want a flash mob, I mean,
you're dancing. Make
up a dance, man. This is more like a place that got looted not too long ago where we all feel a little on edge still. It's a little like we're good, right? And so then when you're not good, it's really not good. So just that's fucking stupid. I don't know. So that happened. So it made me feel like I don't want to see movies there right now. I don't need another. I don't need to be a part of like, and then the gunman showed up to the movie theater for no fucking reason that anyone can understand.
Right. I mean, I might suggest that that is now the safest location.
Because, right. Because
it happened there. It's already.
But listen, you're talking to a lady who watched lightning strike the same tree twice right in front of her. So I'm like, lightning does strike twice. So fuck everyone.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's rough.
I went to Point Reyes. That was fun.
Gorgeous.
Beautiful Pacific Ocean, misty, foggy.
Windy, not warm. Not warm beach days.
Mm-mm. I guess I can formally announce. I have two like new big projects I guess I can formally announce. They feel sort of announceable now.
Do it.
It's all very Katie Rubin-y.
Do you want a fanfare?
Yes, please do. Yes. Thank you.
The lady Katie will now present her new projects.
Unto the plebes. Thank you, fanfare. Well, one is I started officially my staging business.
Awesome.
And I have a storage unit that is filled with items that are ready to stage in people's homes. I have three realtors I'm connected with in various ways who are considering hiring me very soon. I've met with Sotheby's realtors who have told me they are constantly, their stagers they use are too busy, have too much work, can't respond. So they're going to send it to me.
Wow.
Friend in Sacramento was like, yeah, I'll put you on my top three list and the client can choose. I'm just like, I guess I have a staging business. Finally.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's great.
A set of events, like as soon as I got to California, it was like the staging thing just was like, yes, 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 yes. All started to work, which is great. I forgot when I left California that not all states are filled with like wealthy people who want their house to look pretty to sell it faster, who have like enough disposable income where that's a thing you could do. Like it's very, it's pretty particular to, like it makes sense you could do this in the Bay Area. And I'm not saying that that's better or worse. I'm just saying that's a thing here.
If you want to run a staging business, it's better. Yeah.
That's what I mean. Yeah, right. Exactly. It's better for me here. Yeah. So, and I even have like one lady that I may get to do it like within the next couple weeks already.
Right on.
And I'm like, So any of you listening who live in the Bay Area who want some side work, moving objects into a truck and out of a truck, message us at what is it?
AllAnswersPod@gmail.com. And then since I'm the only one who checks that email, I'll forward you the inquiries.
Perfect.
You could have them email you at your email address, which you've also given out plenty of time on the podcast.
I'm just going to not anymore.
Okay.
But thank you. You're right. But yeah, email us if you want some side work. I'm paying well. I'm excited about it. I already have three people willing to do it.
You should start an email that's stagingwithkatie@gmail.com.
Well, we have one here. I'll tell you what it is. Here's where you can actually email me if you want to be correct.
I'm not trying to filter your job requests.
No, you're right. Stagingin the bay@gmail.com.
Stagingin the bay. Spelled just like it sounds.
Yeah, just hit me up. Yeah, just email me if you'd like to do some moving of objects for $30 an hour on your downtime.
Sweet.
And you're a reliable human. So that's announcement number one. Announcement number two is I am 95% for sure. The only thing that we're still hammering dates out, but it's a yes. Going to cast and direct a show in Danville. Rehearsals in January, show in February at, I could do that, theater.
Oh, right, because it's originally a children's theater.
It is a children's theater where there will now be an adult theater in it, run by me.
Let's not call it an adult theater, because that has a different meaning.
It's going to be porn. Live porn.
Touch our junk, please.
It's going to be like when you go to Amsterdam.
Cool, cool.
Sex shows only.
Great.
Just kidding. There will be no sex shows.
That's going to go over well. Danville's loving that.
Anyway, I'm very excited about it. So now I'm doing the work of sifting through plays, and I have a few that I'm leaning towards. I want Peterson Nocturne to write a 2023 version of the Totalitarians.
That's what it's called. It's funny because in my mind it was called The Insurrectionists, which maybe he could write that instead.
There you go. God, I love that play so much. Anyway, that's on the docket. That's a possibility. A couple other possibilities. And
I mean, you should play that role, though, brilliantly.
This is the challenge of that show, is that I want to direct, but like that the role is written for me. So then I'm like,
yeah, I mean, Jamie Jones, genius in it. Absolute top flight. But Jamie Jones, genius in everything. So,
yeah, for sure.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. So that's fun. So if you're an actor,
that's amazing.
In the Bay Area and you're listening to this, keep your eye out for audition notices coming soon to a website near you, I guess.
You're still hammering out whether you think you can deal with equity yet.
Yes, my thing stopped recording for no reason.
Oh, your thing stopped recording.
Sorry, can you ask that again?
Still hammering out whether you can use equity or not.
I mean, it's not going to make any sense, really,
yeah,
to do it for a while, but we may do a producer's code for the first one.
Yeah.
If we can.
Yeah.
Depending on what the show is and, you know.
Yeah.
But that was a genius idea that you gave, and I appreciate that. I don't know if you want to get into that here, but...
Nah.
No. Okay. Anyway, so fun times, good stuff. And lastly, I'm definitely going to be doing improv down in San Jose.
Cool.
Because I'm going...
Like regularly? On the reg?
Well, I'm joining the rehearsals tomorrow night because of you and Alex Grindelin. Shout out to both of you for connecting me down there. It's a comedy sports with a Z, which makes me want to put a fork in my eye. In San Jose.
Longest running live show in San Jose.
That's amazing. Huh.
Yeah.
Anyway, so come on down to San Jose Comedy Sports and see me be improvisatorially fun. You know, we have to remember people requested that we do more improv here. You and I. Here.
Right. Yeah.
They like it.
You should do it.
Give the people what they want, Cass.
I will. Will.
So.
Someday.
We did some improv recently with some people here in San Francisco, and I was bummed to learn that Sam only wants to do that once a month.
Yeah.
I'm like, why?
I guess it takes a lot of organizing.
Not really.
Just do it. Yeah.
It's just a doodle poll and say, this is the day we meet. See you there.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Well.
Let's go.
You could grab the same people.
Well, I could talk to...
We need a space. Yeah.
I could for sure talk to Sam and see if he wants me to grab the same people, because I don't want to get in his business, but we could definitely do that.
Does your condo complex have a community room?
Absolutely.
Those are always good.
It's huge.
Yeah. And no one ever uses it, probably.
And there's ping pong and there's pool and there's chairs that are comfy overlooking the pool, and we can go in the hot tub after. It's like perfect.
Jeez. And you can reserve it and be like, we're using it.
Yes.
Boom.
All right. You know what? This is nonsense. Message Sam right now and see if we can get that going.
Stand by, listeners, while we handle our personal business.
No, we can keep talking.
That's what we do. We handle our personal business on this show. I mean, that's what life is. While you're messaging, I'll answer your half-asked question.
Okay.
Half-asked.
Your job. Your current job.
Yeah. What's going on for me?
I'm ready.
I'll just fill the time with that.
I'm so ready.
It's great. I'm down in Carmel. It feels so good to be right now doing a play in the context of this is my job right now, as opposed to just doing a play around the edges of the jobs. You know what I mean?
Yep, I do.
And being in a process that I trust. God, that's huge. Like, it almost makes me cry when I say that.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Like, yes.
Being... like, even when I disagree, if I like, Ken, you're doing it wrong or whatever, the director, that's just a feeling. That's not a fact.
Right. Yep.
That doesn't actually reflect on the process. That's just me going, oh, I disagree with this moment. And I 100% trust that either he's right or he'll fix it later, because I've done 12 shows with this guy.
Right.
So there's that. And also the cast is lovely and like everybody's nice and good at what they're doing and listening and respecting each other and having a good time and fucking around and having a great time and laughing. Like all the things that you want theater to be.
Yep.
Are all happening.
Man, I am happy for you, friend.
Whew. You know, 4 years later, dude.
Dude.
I mean, it's been a minute, 3.5, let's say, but been, I mean, 4 years since I actually did a process, a full process. I did that show that was great, that Aaron Merritt directed, but that was a different vibe.
Yeah.
It was a different vibe. It was more like a task, you know, that we were committed to, and it was wonderful. It was a very heart-based project, but it didn't have that same, like, and A, I didn't trust it 100% because I was like, I hope this works the whole time.
Yep. Yep.
Because, you know, we were hanging on by our fingernails. This one's like a theater company that's still liquid and they know what they're doing and they can pay the bills and put the set up and it's fine.
That's so great.
Yeah, it's real good. And it's real good.
Mm.
And I'm still waiting to hear on now two different shows that I'm like just holding on to, holding them loosely and tightly at the same time.
And where are they?
One is at the Aurora, our friends at the Aurora, and one is at Berkeley Rep, which I had a callback. So that means a second audition. I've had now two auditions for this role, which is a good place to be.
Can you speak about which plays it is at either place?
Sure. I'm still waiting to hear about 1984, which starts rehearsals real soon, as soon as my show closes. So the deadline looms.
That's at the Aurora?
It's at the Aurora, but I have been told still on hold or still haven't made decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So not out.
I have a couple people I know very recently have had that same experience at that same space where the very last minute.
Oh, I had the 6-month hold at that place last year. So
that's weird.
I don't know. And now they've changed process. It's a totally different director than that one was. And they're using the Casting Collective, which is this cool group of people that formed that are basically now casting, being hired by all the companies in the Bay to do their casting. So very little in-house casting is happening except at like 2 or 3 of the theaters.
And how does that, can you talk about how that works? I just joined it because Dory told me to, but how does that work?
So there's like 4 people that work for this company. They're basically casting directors, which is what, you know, in film and TV, that's how it works usually. You have an agency who you bring in to cast your movie or to cast your, your TV show. Rather than it working for the production company.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, I think, basically what they're doing. They're just, they have their database, which is very thorough and inclusive. They originally launched as a group of people trying to really, you know, further the cause of diversity and inclusion in the casting world. And now they're sort of an established entity, you know, and so, you know, now SF Playhouse will be like, okay, we need to cast this show. Call up Dory or call up Salim or call up whoever it is that their contact is at this agency. And then that one of them will take that show.
I see.
So like I have different conversations with different people for different companies, but it's all the Casting Collective.
And what's the value to, oh, I see. So the value to the theater company is they don't have to pay someone in-house. They pay per job.
Right. They don't have to have a staff position.
And then the value to the collective is, why would they want
to... The value to the collective or the value to us, you mean?
No, to the collective. Like, why would a casting director want to be part of a collective as opposed to being a staff person?
Oh, well, I don't think any of these people were staff people originally, I think. So it was a way of them creating a space. I think it was just like originally, and I think it was a social movement at first in terms of like... Okay, you know what, you guys? No one's doing a very good job piecemeal with this whole get it, do better with casting. So we're going to say we will offer our services to do that better for you.
Oh, I see.
And then, so now companies, I think that we're doing it kind of like, oh, well, this person who is our artistic associate and does these other thing, and they're also a casting director. Like, I'm not getting emails from those people in those theaters anymore. I'm getting emails from Dory or Salim or who's the other person? There was a few others names that I've interacted with recently.
Dory told me she might be moving into an advisory position there.
That makes sense.
Where she's not like doing the thing anymore.
Maybe she wants to run her company, which is that company, maybe.
Which is what company?
Maybe the Casting Collective is her company in a sense.
Uh-huh. Maybe. Or maybe she's doing a whole different thing and she's going to be an advisory person for this company because she already did this. Well, that's all very interesting. That's a nice, interesting change. I kind of like that because it was always cranky making to me that like whatever new intern fucking SF, whatever, what's the one I want to say in Marin, Marin Theater Company had. Is that who I'm talking about? Jason Menendez is.
Yeah.
Is that what they're called?
No longer Jason Menendez.
I know. So who is that now?
No one yet.
Oh.
I think their associate is their interim, but they haven't named a new full AD.
Anyway, that company, I'd always be like, great, this 20-year-old I've never seen, who's never seen me, who's never done anything, now gets to decide who's called back for shit. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, why do you put time into an area if there's no continuity?
Yeah, I do like this. It's kind of like going to the TBA Generals where you get seen by a lot of people at once.
Exactly.
But like if this collective, like recently, here's how it worked in my favor recently. I was interacting with someone about a show at one company. I got the thanks, but no thanks on that one. But meanwhile, I was like, hey, I haven't heard anything about this other one that I was supposed to hear about. And he said, well, I'm not handling that one, but let me check the database. And then he came back to me right away and says, you should have received an email for that like 2 weeks ago. And you did. So check your spam. And I checked my spam. And indeed, there was an email from someone else. Ew, that's gross. Katie is holding up a plastic dog poop in front of the camera for no reason.
It's a very important reason.
Oh, good.
I wanted a visual representation of how that makes me feel for you.
Right. Well, except that I did get it. It worked out just because it had gone in my spam folder, but it hadn't elapsed.
Oh,
it
was good news.
It was good news.
Okay.
Because this guy has access to the other people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like.
Yeah, it benefited you. That's great.
Yeah. So, you know, they talk to each other and they share resources and they go, oh, this person isn't doing this show, but you should call them in for this show. You know,
that's very cool. And my thing just stopped recording again. So I started it again. Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Rami. So I had a big birthday party on Sunday. Now, my birthday is actually in November, but I'm turning 50 this year, and so are four of my dance buddies, and we all have cold weather birthdays, and we were sick of it, and we decided that this year we wanted a summer birthday party. So we had a big joint 50th blowout epic party in the park. It was a very fun and successful party. And I got text messages from the others the next morning saying how amazing it was and how they were still floating. Meanwhile, I was crying and whimpering and lying in bed because big parties are really hard for me. I mean, when I'm the focus, I'm cool with a big party if I'm not the focus, but they're not fun for me. And I don't do them very often. And then when I do them, I'm reminded of why I don't do them. They really stress me out. And I know people think of me as an extrovert, but there it is. So I was like whimpering and crying and tossing and turning in the night and like, and depressed and stuff. As my body was trying to process all the stimulation through. It is what it is. Rami's rules.
How about the nutso-ness at Burning Man going on?
Oh, that's a thing.
Yeah. So Denise is there.
No.
Yeah.
Say more about that, please.
So here's the thing. This is where we can definitely talk about fear-based reporting versus reality. It's not great. There's mud and people are technically stranded, but they went there. Like people, for the most part, go to Burning Man with tents and supplies and water and food and radical self-reliance, right? But then because the circumstances changed, rather than being hot and dusty, it became wet and muddy, which meant, yes, people could not leave.
Right.
Because the roads literally wouldn't let them. They would bury their wheels up to the mud. So people couldn't leave. So, but then the prevailing reporting is 70,000 people stranded at Burning Man, shelter in place, conserve food and water. Chris Rock and Diplo hiked out and said something about the fact that I don't think they're going to be able to pump the porta potties. So there's shit everywhere. Not actually true, but everyone ran with that, of course, because it's the most interesting story.
Of course, that's called media.
Yeah, media runs with that. That's the most interesting story. And then you hear from, they ended up throwing up cell towers, so then people were actually able to contact the outside world.
Oh, that's good.
And yeah, which is interesting that they don't do that normally. I started seeing Facebook posts, people being like, I'm here, it's wet, it's muddy, we're not really doing a lot, but we're fine. You guys, we're fine. Yeah, they pumped. They weren't able to get to all of them because there's too much mud around a couple of the porta potties. But
it is kind of a big deal to not be able to leave a place when you want to.
Yeah, that's the scariest part.
Because you never know when that's going to end. Like if it keeps raining, they're not going anywhere for a while. So that's not nothing. It's just probably not the thing the media is making it out to be.
No. It just, I mean, everybody I've known. And then Denise finally messaged me once she got access to ability. And she's like, I'm having a great time. Like, it's not the best. There's COVID. There's a lot of COVID. There's a ton of COVID.
Oh.
And yeah. And you know, they're just sitting around kind of chilling. You know, people aren't really, you aren't doing, I mean, they got about 2/3 of Burning Man happened. And then the final third was wet and muddy and you can't do anything. And
I'm just going to go ahead and say that from my perspective, that sounds horrible, like a nightmare, awful. I would be so miserable and I would have to really work hard to change my attitude. So I think it does suck a lot.
But don't you think that Burning Man would make you feel that way?
1,000,000% yes.
That's the thing. Like you wouldn't even be there in the first place.
No, never. But it's just a next level badness that I'd be like, and this too? But anyway, that's me. Some people... I don't know, my buddy in Shay Troja, who we've had on the podcast, she's like an avid Burning Man person. Last minute, couldn't go. She's grateful, but she's like, but my friends are all there and they're having a blast. And I'm like, are you sure they are? Are they really? She's like, yeah, they're having fun. I'm like, okay, it's a different breed.
I'm just going to tell you something that Denise said, and hopefully she didn't get mad for me sharing this. It's, no one knows who she is. She said in her text, you're going to hate this.
Okay.
She said, I mean, yeah, the other day I pooped in a bag and I felt like a hero.
That's great, actually. I pooped in a bag, but hey, I felt like a hero.
She loves an emergency. Like she's all about it. She turns on.
I get it.
So, yeah.
Rock on. Hey, man, I'm happy for the people that works for. That's great.
Yeah. And I know that the tech billionaires were able to be helicoptered out because they can't, you know.
They were?
Some of them, I think. No one's saying anything about that, but I've heard from a few sources like, yeah, of course they did.
I feel like, all right, here's my shitty, shitty attitude, judgment-based. Here's my question. No, but like, we burn the man. We already did it. Every year, we did it. We burn the man. And now we're in the desert and we're all doing drugs, wearing costumes in the heat and the dirt, and we burn the man. Is the man actually dead?
I don't even know if that's what it means. I don't know what the burning of the man means.
It's the burning of the man. It's literally the man burned.
I guess.
No, but that's what it is. That's what they all talk about. That's what it is. And it can be many things, and it's a metaphor for whatever the fuck you want.
Right. And now Burning Man is the man. So come on. I mean, it's a multi-million dollar corporation.
That. And hasn't anyone noticed that the man isn't dead? Like, so what are we...
Well, the man never dies. You got to keep burning it.
Okay.
I mean, if you lived in Cuba, you would know that revolution is continuous.
And that is true. I mean, I know that just living here. I hear that. I'm just saying what... I guess it doesn't seem to be a revolution that's doing much of anything except... Yeah, but that's not the point, I guess, except people sort of act like that's the point.
Yeah, I don't think there's change being enacted because of it. I think they're just...
Okay. It's just a way for tech...
Playing with art.
It's like tech bros get a chance to put a costume on.
I mean, I think that's the prevailing negative narrative, and it's true. It's part of it.
Okay.
but I don't think that's the majority of it, but that's the most visible.
Well, what is the majority of
it? That's the most visible fuck you of it.
That doesn't seem like the most visible thing to me at all, because I have a lot of friends that go that are not tech bros, but what are they
exactly?
What are they doing? What is it for them? I know my friends that I can think of, like Shay and her friends, it's just fun. It's a fun party.
Yeah, it's a fun party.
But like, it's like a liberating, break the mold. But I know them already. They're already liberated, mold broken people.
Yeah.
All day. They're always having a party everywhere. So I'm like, what's the...
I mean, why do people go camping, for crying out loud, also?
Nature that is nice. Like, the playa is not nice.
It's trying to kill you.
Yeah, it's not a river with some beautiful redwoods. It's a fucking desert.
Yeah, I mean, I could theorize, but I've never been, so I don't fucking know. I mean, we should have someone on who really loves it.
But you have, like, people that go, and they have...
I have lots of people that go, and they love it, and it's community for them. A lot of it is the people they don't spend time with during the year, but then they get super intense with.
Okay.
It's, I think intensity is a big part of that.
That's a good point.
Like intensity of connection, intensity of release, intensity of art, of visual stimulation. And, you know, maybe the intensity of the not, it's not luxurious. And so that intensity, you know, strip opens you up a little more. Like you're exhausted, you're torn down. It's like running a marathon or something. You get a runner's high.
That makes sense. Okay, now you're getting, I'm being facetious and shitty about it, but I'm actually curious. I'm trying to understand it a little bit better.
Well, and then you have the people who are kind of coming at it from the opposite view, which is like people who do what are called plug and play camps, which is super against, people hate that.
What's that mean?
That's people who hire other people.
Whoa.
To go in and build their camp. And then they helicopter in and then just go into their little luxury yurt that someone else put up and stocked and put all the wine and all the shit for. And then, you know, venture out, go see some art, and then go back to your little fucking luxury yurt. That's a different, I mean, that's...
That's what I would want to do.
Right. But that would be like, I'm going to Burning Man. That's like Instagram. That's Instaman. Burning Graham.
Okay.
Well, and I happen to know that like at least one of these luxury camps, I know because my friends were across from them.
Yeah.
And they totally like hoodwinked the people they'd hired, which was basically, you're going to come ahead of time and you're going to set it all up. And then when they were all done, they're like, great, bye, go away. Wouldn't even let them, they had no place to sleep or stay at Burning Man.
But they didn't know that going in?
But they didn't know that going in.
Well, that's fucked up.
Yeah, super fucked up.
But that's a separate point. Those are just dicks then.
Those were evil people.
Definitely doing dick stuff.
Yeah. And there are at least one very famous person in that camp. Yeah.
Burning Man. Good times.
Burning Man. I mean, sounds like they're heading, most of them are heading out right now, but the smart people are waiting until Tuesday because they're like, I don't want to sit in a 14-hour Exodus line. So I know that Denise's camp is waiting till Tuesday to leave.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Sam wrote back.
What did he say?
I wrote him this whole long thing. We could do this and I could do it or you could do it. How do you want to do it? And he wrote back, I have a date for the SF place and was going to promote it in a week or two. 9/24.
Okay. So at least the next one.
Done and done. Okay. Sweet. Getting stuff handled. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you have a new business and any insane crises happened to you this month?
Well, no. I mean, God, knock wood. No. I have new business, moved in with my partner, which is a new business.
How's that going?
New theater company, new version of my healing business. Like everything's new.
How is that?
Well.
How's your spirit? How's your soul through all that?
I mean, I'm always doing a lot of self-care. Like I'm taking a lot of all the time I need. And I think the hardest part for Eric and I is being two only children in a space that isn't huge, I mean, it's not small, means for me, what it means is I have to keep doing the, hey, I'm going to go in here now for a few hours by myself to this room. Could you not come in here? Which is hard for me. I don't like having to be like, leave me alone, but I have to, because I really need a lot of alone time. And so we're coming up against, you know, and that can be triggering for him. Because he's like, are you mad? And I'm like, no, once again, not mad, need time. And for him, it's like, I need more time than I think he naturally feels is normal.
Right.
And so it's, we're just talking through it a lot, which is like, I'm not used to having to run it by people when I need a minute or a lot of minutes.
Yeah.
Because I've been living alone a long time.
Yeah.
So there's that negotiation, which we're doing a great job of. It just means that we have to like have these talks that I don't always want to have. I just want to go in the other room. Is that so wrong?
That's, yeah.
There's a human with feelings who lives here.
Yeah. That's when, setting up sort of communication agreements is really useful. And you've been doing that.
Yeah.
But like ways that you know that you can say like, this is that. This is not this. This is that.
Correct. That's a thing.
You know, even naming it, like giving it a phrase, like saying, I need some, hey, I'm going to go do some doodle time, you know?
Yep.
Calling it a thing that has its own category. Yeah.
Yep. That's fair. I think it's just bringing up all my subtle, like we have a little entanglement, he and I. We have an enactment, as we would say in therapeutic language, where my need bumps up against his opposing need.
Uh-huh.
And so we have to talk through it a lot. And we even had a talk yesterday about, I was like, will there ever be a time we don't have to keep talking through this? And he was like, I don't know. And I was like, well, can we make one? Can we like get there already? And he was like, I need you to be patient. And I was like, I need you to hurry the fuck up. So, you know, we got through it and understood each other by the end. But that was the nature of the challenge. And, you know, for me, it's everything is an opportunity to not run, but practice getting my needs met with words. Use your words, Katie. Don't just run, you know?
Yeah.
And it's always worth it in the end, or it has been so far. But, you know, I don't know. I have such an open mind about things a lot of the time, like in terms of like what's possible, that I'm always like, well, maybe I just can't do relationship, or maybe it has to be two different houses, or I don't know. I always come up with 900 things it could be, because it could be anything. And then that's when I come back to, and here we are on our podcast. I just listen to consciousness. I go, what's in my highest here? And it keeps directing me to, no, stay, use your words. This is what you're doing now. This is where the learning is for you now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And then like, I want to give people some hope too. Here's a fun, hopeful story. I think about how to frame this. I talked about this maybe last week or the week before, but there's just been a lot of places where, like if you have sexual abuse trauma, trigger warning, too late. But if you have sexual abuse history and you're listening to this and you're with someone and you have that feeling of like, I gotta get out of here. Or like, okay, let me back up. My therapist has been talking about when you move in with someone, it's like a next level relationship step. And she says, every time you take a next level relationship step, when you like for everyone, it brings up all your stuff about closeness, intimacy, space, autonomy. It just brings everything up for everyone. But if you have sexual abuse history, it brings up the youngest part of you feeling afraid that you're going to get sexually abused. And this is not a part of you that is rational or part of your adult mind. Like my adult self knows Eric is not a sexual abuser. But this young part of me that has been exiled away in these tiny little pockets of my nervous system does not know that. And so then there are, now we're talking about parts work here. There's the young vulnerable parts and then there's the protector part. The protector part always, in my case, says, get the fuck out of here. Make him go away. Get out. And then had a great therapy session that I think we talked about on here where my therapist was like, well, if you got away from him and it was his fault, what would you be safe from? And I was just instant sobbing. And it was like, oh, and she goes, danger. I go, it's danger. And so that made me realize like, there's going to be all these layers of confronting this vulnerable part of me feeling like it's going to get killed, smothered, raped, or murdered. So I keep doing my energy work around it. Like, I'll have a subtle feeling of, like when I first got here, I was having a lot of big feelings that were like, ah, and then I would do the work and be like, oh, I feel good. Let's hang out now. Now there are these like subtler versions of it, but there's still layers of it coming up. So I just do everything I teach people to do, which is feel into the vulnerable part, bring the light to it, feel into the protector part, bring the light to it. And then it all changes. It shifts, 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 shifts. So it's been a lot of work for me and I've been tired a lot because of it. Like I'm working just by being in relationship, you know?
Yeah.
So I just want to give hope to people that, like, if you have that kind of history, there are tools and it can, you can work through it and you don't have to run and, or fight or freeze, depending on which protective.
Or fart. That was the fourth one we came right, up with the fart. Other day. Or fart.
Fair enough. Although I do a lot of farting and I support farting very, very fully. But also be gentle on yourself and know when it's time to, like, take a nap or have a lot of time alone. And it's okay to need time to recover and space alone, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, and then let's, you know, the other person's thing isn't necessarily you haven't done anything wrong by needing that time alone, nor is their response always rational either. Like, he's going to be operating from his, I'll speak for myself. I know that even in situations where it has been firmly established that I can trust this relationship is solidly rooted. And yet if that person would be like, I need to cancel tonight. Sometimes my response is, why are you mad?
Yeah.
Rather than, that's fine. You need to cancel. Life is life. We do our shit. You know, why are you mad? And I know they're not. I know they're not. It's because of previous trauma where that is how someone did. And for you, I mean, he's dealing straight up with this is what you did in the past.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, you know, he's still having to, even though you guys have done a really good job of building that trust, he's still going to, in the underpinnings of his soul, going to be still going, that's that thing, isn't it? Is this that thing?
And his childhood, like, he had a dad who would, whenever there was a conflict, he would leave the room and not, he would just shut down, not communicate, leave the room and be mad. And then he'd be like, I'm not mad. And then he'd leave and he and his mom would be sitting there going, are you mad? Can you just talk to us about what you're mad about? And he'd be like, I'm not mad. And then he'd disappear for a long time and come back and change the subject. And so it really fucked with him.
Right. So even you saying, I'm not mad, I just need time alone. It's like, I've heard that before.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Right. So yeah, you guys definitely, this could be my unasked for advice. I think really naming that thing you need, mm-hmm. and giving it a title, giving it a name, mm-hmm. so that you can declare that. Yeah.
Yeah, we did it. It's good. It works. It's better. It's still something we have to check in around, and I get irritated by all the fucking check-ins. And he's like, he doesn't. He loves a check-in. If I check in with him, he loves it. If he's checking in with me, it makes him feel good. I'm like, can we with the check-ins? Can we just make moves? Do we have to check in? He's like, yeah, we have to. And I'm like,
I know, I know.
Yeah. So that's my next piece. So mama's always learning.
Rami and I, a long time ago, we realized there was a point where we wanted to, like, tell each other, yeah, you've already told that story. Or yeah, we've already heard that, which sounds very judgmental the way I just said it. And so we came up, it was also like in public, if we were with people that we knew we'd already shared, like, don't share that story again. You've already shared that story. We would do little bunny ears, little like quote, the like air quotes with one hand, but just right in front of the chest, like little ditto marks. You just go real subtly, go, you've done that one.
That's awesome.
And it depersonalizes it to a certain extent. It's actually like saying, I'm doing you a favor and you know I love you and this is why I'm helping you, rather than shut up.
It's like when you tell someone they got a bat in the cave.
Yeah. It's a thing.
It's a favor.
Right. But it's better if you don't do it big and outwardly. You don't go, Katie, you got a booger hanging.
Yeah. Or like, you've told this fucking story before, you idiot.
Right. In front of all your friends. Like, oh, they're fighting. Just throw little bunny quotes.
Bunny quotes. Well, do we need to do anything woo-woo today?
I don't know. We've talked about some principles of self-reliance and communication. And I think we've done our task. Are you're not? Yeah. I've stopped meditating, Katie. I got to get back on it. I was so good at it. Like, when I have the target, like, you have to do it for 3 weeks every day.
Right.
And say these three prayers exactly this way. Fucking did it. And as soon as that was gone, like, I do it every few days. And, oh, yeah, I should do that.
Well, how's your connection with, weren't you wanting a connection with?
Gabriel?
Gabriel.
I'm using it, I'm sort of using that communication line on an as-needed basis. Like, you know.
Well, that's what it should be for.
I'm getting ready for an audition or something. And I'll be like,
yeah.
And I'll actually do a meditation. I'll say the prayer that we developed. And then, like, try and talk to Gabriel for a second. Say, hey, you know, like, do me a favor, help me open these lines of communication, and, like, share my best self, and, like, be as clear with sharing this art as I can, or whatever, things like that.
Yeah.
I still don't have a sense that I'm hearing anything back. And that's okay. That's not my jam yet.
Well, if you want to hear them, so here's how I would play with this. It's like you do a spiritual thing until you get the results you want. And then when you get those results you want, you look at what are the next results you want. So in this case, it sounds like maybe if you gave a shit, if it mattered enough to you, the next thing I'm hearing you say is you want to hear back.
Yeah.
So then if you want to hear back, you got to talk to them every day.
Yeah.
And then practice listening and receiving the hear back. But if the desire to hear back is not that strong, you're not going to do it. And that's okay.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's...
See, this is where I'm always... This is so interesting. This is where, like, if you're out there listening to this and you have a lot of pain in your life or trauma, be grateful for it because it will motivate you to do shit that if you're kind of fine, you'll never do.
I'm raising my hand. Kind of fine.
And you know what? Everybody's on their own trip. There's no right way. There's no good thing to do, bad thing to do, right thing to do, good amount of discipline, right amount of discipline. Fuck all that. Cassidy doesn't need this bad enough to bother with it that much. But if you're out there and you're like, no, I need to talk to Gabriel because I can't get through a day, or I need spiritual guidance because my inner guidance is off, or whatever the fuck, if you're suffering, you'll get motivated. Or let's say you have like a passion and a yearning to know the Archangel Gabriel, then that'll drive you, passion and yearning.
Yeah.
In your case, at this moment, I don't think it's strong enough. So I go, fucking rock on.
And it kind of was when the assignment came through, right?
Well, but the assignment was built on a question from you. It was built on, you wanted to know, how do I connect with this? It pulled at you. It had a delightful, passionate charge on it. It was exciting to you.
And it was exciting. And I was also in a place where I was feeling unmoored and untethered.
Right.
And I don't feel as unmoored and untethered, and partially because I did that practice, even if I've let it slide. Not just partially, very much so because I did that practice.
But also you have an acting job, and that's the thing you always feel moored by.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, maybe when the show is over, you'll be like, what's it all about? Where's Archangel Gabriel?
Start meditating again.
Probably.
That being said, whenever I fucking do it, I'm much happier.
Now that's a good reason.
Yeah. It just feels better.
Yeah, I hear that.
My brain it's like drinking coffee. It like cleans the brain.
God, it sure does. Same here.
Even the fast five of it.
Bada bing, bada boom.
It just cleans my brain, man.
In and out.
It's so easy. It's such a low bar I've set for myself. And so like, go ahead and fucking step up.
I hear you. I hear you. You heard it here first from yourself.
That's funny. You heard it here first from yourself.
I think that's a good place to stop for today.
That's beautiful. I love it. I love you, Katie.
I love you too.
I miss you. Let's get back in person soon.
Well, hurry up with your stupid acting job and come back in town.
Blah, 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 play. You have to play. Blah, blah.
Oh, side note for listeners, Rami and I, BFOPC and I are going to see Cassidy's play together.
Yeah.
They're going to come out and we're going to go down and we'll have stories to tell.
Yeah, yeah. We're ironing out the details of that one, but we're definitely going to make it happen.
I think there's going to be like a canoeing situation.
Yeah, if we can make the time right. If you can get here early enough in the day so that we can go out and then still go to the show.
Or we come, we see the show that night, then the next day we canoe.
Yeah, if you stay over. But we'll talk. We'll talk. There's a lot of details that Rami and I have also been trying to work on in terms of their travel and how they're flying in and out and all that shit. So.
Okay. Right. Okay. Well, I adore you. I can't wait to come see it. And you're the very, very best.
I love you back. I'll see you soon.
Yeah. Do your work. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
What are you asking for? All of the answers. Say what? All of the answers. Yeah. All the answers.
Hey guys. Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.
Hey. Why isn't it Spider-Man? You know, like Goldman, Silverman.
Because it's not his last name.
It isn't?
No, it's not like Phil Spider-Man. He's a Spider-Man.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
You know, like Goldman is a last name, but there's no Goldman.
Oh, okay. There should be a Goldman.